Thank you for being with us and watching over us. Help us as we look at your word that it will be living and powerful within us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 17. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 16, beginning at verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you or to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. May be seated. We look at Scripture and we find that there is so much in there. We can read it and read the same Scripture more than once, and we will find more and more riches every day. And as we look at those riches, we find that God is telling us to be faithful, to be true, that he was the one that sent Jesus into the world in the first place. And he is the one that reconciled us back to himself. And in reconciling us back to himself, he did it through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we look in our Old Testament, we find David blessed the Lord. And some people say, how can David bless the Lord? And it's because David was walking with the Lord. Physically, he had done much wrong, yes. But spiritually, his heart was with God, and he looked to God for his guidance. You see, David had wanted to build a house. He says to Nathan, "I have a house for myself, and I have all I need. Therefore, I think it's only proper I build a house for God." And Nathan says, "Do as you wish." Then God spoke to Nathan, and he says, "You go and tell David, you can't build a house for me. I don't want you to, because you are a man of war. There's blood in your house, and there's all kinds of dissension in your house. It is not one of peace. It's not one of tranquility. Therefore, you cannot build it, because you are known as a man of war." And so Nathan goes back and tells David this, and David accepts it and says, "The Lord knows best." And so David wants to prepare for that temple. And as he prepares for that temple, it tells us in the previous chapters that he gathers together as much as he can for preparation of that temple. And he gave of his own riches, or of his own resources, 3,000 talents of silver, and about the same in gold, for what would be overlaid in silver and gold. And then back in that time, a talent of silver was approximately 70 pounds. So you can do the math of how much David's wealth was worth. And he had told the people of Israel, bring into the God's house and into his treasury the things that we need. And we find they brought in willingly. And so here in the chapter 29 of Chronicles, David blesses God, and as it was read, so much of everything that David did, and he blessed God. There's one verse, I didn't ask Steve to read it, so I'll read it, and that's verse 14. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own hand you have given them to us. We give them back to you. How much do we have that we say is ours? We have worked for it. We have earned it, but yet it all belongs to God. You see, Jesus is telling his disciples, as he was teaching them there, that if they're faithful to God and that they stand up and do God's will, he will entrust them with certain things, and God will consider those things as theirs, even though he gave it to them and he created that. So we find that Jesus is saying, if you're unfaithful in a little things that aren't yours, you will be unjust on many things. If you are faithful in a few things, God will give you more riches. Are we faithful? We say, I have Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I have Jesus as my Lord, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So, as I said last Sunday, I wanted to bring up a few things about prayer, and I would like to have us take it to heart. Can you pray, and will you pray, prayer of not only supplication and intercession and thanksgiving, but when you pray and you pray to God for your church, for yourself as an individual, for your loved ones, but ask God to lay some soul upon your heart, upon you, that you would pray for that particular person, that you could lead that person to salvation, that you would be part of that harvest that's white unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest, Jesus said, and we are to help harvest those crops or those souls for Christ. Are you willing to pray, God, lead some soul to me, that I can take and show them the way of salvation? So now, as you pray this, can you honestly and convincingly show them the reason for salvation? Can you honestly and earnestly show them that they have no argument, that the Word of God is inerrant and infallible, that there's no errors in it, that it is truth through and through? If you are given and asked a question, why do you believe? Can you answer that biblically and convincingly, that people would want to follow you and believe in the same God that you believe in? Believe in the same Christ that died on Calvary's cross for you, would you be able to convince them that's the Jesus they need, That's the one they have to put their trust in. That's the one that they come to in repentance of sin, of wrongdoing, and asking Christ to come into their heart. Yes, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And this is a very wonderful verse. It's scripture in and of itself. Can we tell them and convince the people then that this Jesus that God sent is my Lord and my Savior? You see, Paul said, do not be weary in well-doing. And if we're not weary in well-doing, we will receive the promise. We will receive that crown of life. We will receive that reward at the end of our life. We may be made fun of. We may be ridiculed and all of these things. But God told us, as he told Jeremiah and Ezekiel and some of the other prophets, remember, they reject you, they've rejected me first. And remember, when they reject you, they aren't rejecting you, they're rejecting me, God says. They're rejecting what you're telling them is the truth. Can you then convince that person beyond a doubt that they are not only sinners, that they need salvation, and can you convince them that they can know and feel the freedom of away from sin and feel and know that they are going to heaven? You can quote 1 John 1:9. You can quote Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and some of these. Can you convince them then that Jesus is the bread of life, that he's the one that gives them living water, that it will flow out through them? You see, my prayer is that we not only pray for our church, but we pray for the outreach in missions, and we do give to missions, but we have missions at home, and we have missions within our own family. We have missions within our own relatives. We have missions in our own community. Are we willing to pray for those missions and to step out for those missions and to ask God to use us in such a way that we can bring people, even in our own locality, into his kingdom? We pray for ourselves first, that we are right with the Lord, that God has his own way in our life, that we are willing to step out of our comfort zone and willing to take any abuse that might be given to us by our neighbors, our friends, even our own family. And many times, Satan is there to take and tell you that you're not forgiven, even when you've accepted the Lord. Satan is there to tell you, are you really forgiven? Do you think God heard you? And you have to say yes, because by grace I am saved through faith. The faith that God gives me because I accepted his Son on the cross, what he did on the cross as he died there for me, and as he gave his life for me. I can know, it tells us in John 3:36, that I have salvation. I can know he is my Lord and Savior. And other places in Scripture, it says these things are written that you may believe. And Jesus said, remember the house that was swept clean, and at midnight that evil spirit came back and seen the house swept clean and went and got seven more spirits even worse than him, and the end of that man was worse than the beginning. Because we not only have to convince them they need Christ, but to convince them to pray and to read the scripture and to make sure that they're walking with the Lord every day. and we must keep them in prayer. You see, when you say, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart that I may show them salvation, that I may show them your love, and that I may show them the love that you have given me and that you have forgiven me of my sin, we have to make sure that they understand that when they have truly accepted Christ and repented of their sin, that Christ has entered them and they have received the Holy Spirit. Now, they must read, study, and pray, and you must help them if you can. You want to be there if they have questions, because Satan will come to them and try and get their mind to think they really aren't saved, to try and get their mind to think they really weren't good enough for God's salvation. And yet Christ died for the sins of the world, and this we know. And God says, I have no pleasure in the death of a wicked man, yet every man is appointed once in which to die, and then the judgment. You see, if we have the opportunity to give witness and to live for Christ, and we don't do it, and we don't warn them, their blood can be required of us. Their blood can be required on our hands because we did not stand up for Christ. We did not witness for him. And we have to start with ourselves. When we pray, Lord, help me to know and to fully understand and to understand your scripture, so that as I read and study, I can show others, whether it's my family, my friends, my relatives, or who it is, my acquaintances, that they too, if they don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they need the Lord. And this is intercessory prayer. It's supplication prayer. It's prayer of thanksgiving. And all of these things, do not let pride come in. Do not be weary in well-doing, Paul tells us. Jesus said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle or one dot or one line or one letter of God's law to pass away. God's law is there, and it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for God's law to change at all. God's law is there. He tells us, I am the Lord thy God. He tells us, there is no other gods before me. And we must remember that. We must accept that, and we must believe that. And we must realize that, as Peter said, that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And as we resist the devil, he will flee from us, and the closer we draw to God, the closer he draws to us. As I spoke a little bit last Sunday, and I want to reiterate a little bit today, prayer is something that can be talked about in many different ways. Are we remembering not only those that are sick that needs prayer, but how about those that aren't, or that we think aren't, but they are sick spiritually, that they're having a hard time? You know, I had a man come up to me, and I've talked a little bit about it, and a complete stranger, and he told me if I died tonight, I'd be in hell in the morning. How do you convince him and make him fully understand that Christ died for his sins, and that by repenting and believing in God the Father Almighty, who died on the cross of Calvary for us, that his sins are forgiven? And as his sins are forgiven, he can accept Christ. That if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we find that. And him and I talked for over an hour, and he left. We prayed, and he had accepted the Lord, and he went his way. I've never seen the man again. I've never heard from him. But can you step out of your comfort zone and do that? This man came to me. I hadn't been out searching for him, but I was there. When I was working with the airlines yet, I had one man. He says, I will never attend church. And I asked him why, and of course he never really answered. But I found as we worked together that when him and I were alone, he started asking me all kinds of questions about the Bible, about salvation and the need for salvation and all of these things. The minute somebody else came into the room, he would change the subject. So it looked like he didn't want anything to do with religion. I prayed for that man, and I haven't seen him for a number of years. I don't even know if he's living yet. But I pray that God's word touched his heart. He had to be thinking and searching. Did I give him enough information and convince him strong enough? I don't know. You see, you can't force them to accept Christ, but you can show them the reason why they should, and you can convince them that they should, but they have their own will. I have seen people that say, I've accepted Christ, and go on and live as if nothing had happened. And you wonder, they're like the grain that fell on amongst the weeds. They heard the word, they sprung up, and the cares of the world choked them out, and they died. They forgot to feed their soul. They forgot to pray. They had nothing else to do except live for the world. And your soul is just like your physical body. If you don't feed it, it's going to die. Your soul will also die if you do not continue to feed it. Jesus says, I will give you living water. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. Do we believe these things? First, we must pray for ourselves. Prayer that God can use us, that God will help us step out of our comfort zone, and that we would be willing, if the case might be, that we would be made fun of or mocked or whatever, but that we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, with that, help me to read and understand, that as I read and as I understand, that I can bring to others your message of salvation. And as I bring your message of salvation to them, they will accept it. Help me to be able to convince them and to help them leave the world of sin, the world of pleasure, and accept the world that gives them joy forever. That's eternal bliss, by having Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You see, so many people think they're missing something in this world because they have Jesus. But Jesus gives them peace. Even though when they walk through the valley, the shadow of death. Remember when David wrote that, yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because, Lord, you are with me. And we can have death all around us, yet we know, because we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we have eternal life. That we look and we can see our eternal destination, which is heaven. not one what is black and condemnation. We pray that God will not only watch over us and keep us, but that we can do like David and bless God, realizing everything we have comes from Him. Nothing we have is our own. And He has given it to us to use. Are we using it faithfully and the way we should? Or are we using it to bless ourselves only? And if we use it to bless ourselves only, Jesus says you've already received your reward because you used what God gave you on yourself and you have not thought of others. You have left those fields of white unto harvest, and many of them never got harvested because you are not willing to step out of your comfort zone. You're not willing to pray, God, lay some soul upon my heart and help me to convince and show that soul the way into heaven and the way of eternal life, the way in which to walk and the way in which to live. We find that so well in this portion of Scripture. Help us to be faithful unto your word. Help us to be faithful in all you have given us, and help us to be faithful so we will hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We know the time of the end is coming, and we have been warned over and over again in Scripture. People will believe a lie, delusion will come, and people will be lovers of themselves more than the lovers of God. And we find that the world today is in a world of me and myself, my generation, myself for me. We've seen the advertisement of says, pay yourself first. And so many people have done that, and they have left God out and left Him for last. You see, I read an article the other day, and it was about a man and a woman who had went to learn on what to teach for Sunday school as well as vacation Bible school. And they had went to California to hear what they should be teaching. And I don't remember all of the article, but a couple of the things that they got there, they said they were flabbergasted, if you want to put it that way, as to what was being wanted to be taught. One, the Holy Spirit was a woman. Number two, they're not sure God is a man or a woman. Number three, Jesus was a good prophet, a good teacher, but not necessarily the Son of God. Another thing they taught was that all the stories in the Bible were to be taught as fairy tales and stories, not truth. How terrible to go and to come and want to teach your children something like that. You see, Satan is working overtime, and Satan is working so hard, and he will not quit working until Christ puts him under his feet totally and arrests him for that 1,000 years, and Christ will reign upon the earth for that 1,000 years. It says, and Satan will be loosed from his prison for a short time. And the first thing he does is goes to all the nations of the world to get their armies together to come and fight Christ in Jerusalem. And Christ will destroy him and all of those that are following Satan, those that have received his mark and those who have refused to follow Jesus Christ. Our prayer is, while we still have time, to pray not only for ourselves, but Lord, lay some soul upon my heart but help me be prepared and know how to show that person salvation and convince them that by accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they will be working for the Lord and they will save a soul from hell. And in saving that soul from hell, that soul would have eternal life like you and I do because we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us to serve you. Help us, O Lord, to realize the nearness of your coming. And Lord, as we go about our business, help us to live for you and be willing to step out of our comfort zone and do your will in all of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to 542.